And all God's people said, amen. Today we finish up our journey through Exodus. Of course, Exodus continues on for several more chapters, which I encourage you to read on your own. But today we see once again that God is providing, even in the midst of extreme disobedience. As we talked about in the children's sermon, today we see that God gives the Ten Commandments for a second time. The first time He had given His law, setting in stone the relationship and the covenant that He was making with the children of Israel, putting all of that out there, and Moses brought it down only to find that they had forgotten God. And in His rage at all they had done, that Moses cast the stones down and they shattered. And God calls him back up and says, it's not over. The agreement we have set is not over. Come back up. Receive my words once again. Come and get a second chance. That's something we talk a lot about, and sadly something we probably utilize and celebrate a little too much, is that God is a God of second chances and multiple chances, that God's always there, that there's nothing that we can do that will put us outside of the opportunities to restore our relationship with God. But it requires more than just saying it. I think that's sometimes where we get off, is so many times we want that to just be a decision. Like, yes, God, I know that I have messed up. Forgive me, and then I'm done. That's all that's required, is I just make that decision, and then a switch is flipped, and all of a sudden everything's okay. But in looking at our scripture today, we realize restoration of our relationship with God, a second chance, is a little more complicated than that. It's not a matter of just saying, I'm sorry, but it's truly a matter of owning our failures and living into them. I want you to notice exactly what God does. As God says to Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to cut two stone tablets just like you cut them before, and then tomorrow morning I want you to come up on the mountain, but come by yourself. And there's to be nobody else on the mountain. I don't even want the sheep or the goats or the flocks or anything. I don't want anything grazing anywhere near the mountain. And I will give you the word again. God's very specific that if we want a second chance, we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to accept it. It requires effort on our part. It's more than just lip service. It actually requires a true intention and in doing whatever it is that is necessary to get that second chance. It requires you to put skin in the game. And that's what God tells Moses. Here's what I want you to do. You want the law back? Then you are going to follow these rules. Some of them which you are not going to understand. Like, why is it necessary that the sheep aren't on the hill? Nobody knows. The only answer is because God said. I remember one time when I was in undergrad. I had a psychology professor, Dr. Dunot. And Dr. Dunot was one of those sticklers for the rules. And this is the way it was. And but those of us who were majors in theater and art, you know, rules for us are more fluid than they are for some people. But Dr. Dunot was one of those people, this is what it said, this is what she did. But there was one time that I actually saw her almost in a moment of grace. We had had something that had to be turned in by 5 o'clock, and 5 o'clock for Dr. Dunot meant actually 4:59, because as soon as that clock hit 5 o'clock, she was done. And so, not that I was procrastinating, I was there like at 4:55, but I was there turning in my paper with a whole lot of other people, and there was somebody who came up just after she pulled the box of all of the papers and had their paper, and had a paper in hand, and she was crying. And she said, I know it's late and this isn't what I want to turn in because it's not finished. And begins to launch into all of this, whatever is the reasons all of these things happened. And Dr. Dunod, again, in a moment of grace, looked at her and said, just keep what you have. 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, be in my office with your paper, complete and ready. And I cannot guarantee you that you will get an A, because there has to be some consequences. But be in my office at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I will accept your finished paper. And just like that, her tears dried up, and she was like, well, 8 o'clock really doesn't work for me. And Dr. Dunod smiled and said, then it's 5 o'clock today, and I'm sorry you have missed the cutoff. And she turned around in her office with all the papers and left that person standing there. But you know, so many times we want a second chance, but we want a second chance on our terms. So many times we want, yes, God, please forgive me for the times that I have failed, but if it could happen this way, or if it would be in this way, or if I don't have to give up too much, I'd certainly like to be in a better relationship with you. So many times we want that, but again, we want it according to our terms. God, I would love to have a better relationship with you, but you know, going to church every Sunday is asking just a little bit much. You know, I'd love to have a relationship with you, but I'm not quite sure I can get there for Sunday school. That is really, really early. God, I would love to have a better relationship with you, but do I really have to like my neighbor? Because you know as well as I know, they're quite unlikable. But God says to Moses, if you want the second chance, this is the way you get it. And yes, it may seem convoluted, and yes, it may seem difficult, but you don't get to make the rules for the second chance. Because it shows your intent. It shows how bad you want it. Are you willing to do what is required? Because the second thing we learn is a second chance is always available. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you still have them open. Let's pick up with verse 6. The Lord passed in front of Moses and said, I am the Lord. The Lord is a God who shows mercy, who is kind, who doesn't become angry quickly, who has great love and faithfulness, is kind to thousands of people. The Lord forgives people for evil, for sin, and for turning against Him. See, that's the second thing we know about second chances, is they are always available, because the second chances aren't about us, the second chances are about God. That's exactly what He says here. He says, you want to know why we're back up on this mountain again? You want to know why I'm going all through this again? Is because that's who I am. I'm a God who loves. I'm a God who is kind. I'm a God who shows compassion. That's who I am. It's not about you. It's about me. And just how much I want this relationship to work. It's always available for us if we are willing to take it. Not because we deserve it, but because that is who God is. God is a God who wants to be in relationship with us. God is a God who will do anything, as the cross proves, to restore that relationship with us. But what a weight off that is. To know that our second chance isn't dependent upon us. That we don't have to necessarily be worthy of getting another chance. We get another chance just because that's what God does. I have a good friend that was sharing with me that she was going through some difficult times with her college-age son. And he was one of those kids that was always a great kid. And then he went to college and he started making some really poor decisions. And those poor decisions led to him making some other poor decisions, which led to him getting on academic probation. And she was like, and he came home to tell us that he was on academic probation and that he was about to lose his scholarship and he was about to lose all these other things. And part of the issue he was facing is with academic probation meant that he couldn't play the sport that his scholarship was based on. And so there was this huge question as to whether or not he was still going to have that scholarship when he went back the next week. And he went home, head hung, and said, "This is what the situation is." And she said, "Well, okay, what are we going to do about it?" And he looked at her and said, "What do you mean, what are we going to do about it?" And she says, "What is the plan? This is what our new reality is. How are we going to live into this? What are we going to do if the scholarship doesn't happen? You know, let's talk about that." And she said he got this strange look on his face and he said, "That's it? There's no lecture, there's no yelling, there's no screaming, there's no praying fire down upon my head." And she said, "Oh no, there'll be a time for that, but not now. Right now, we've just got to sit here and we've got to figure out what to do. Because right now, our priority is not your punishment. Our priority is making sure that these stupid decisions do not interfere with your future." That's exactly what we see here, is God is saying to the children of Israel when he gives this description, is he says, it's not about the poor mistakes you have made. And believe me, you have made some seriously poor mistakes. But no, it's about who I am and it's about what my priorities are. I am a God who is merciful. I am a God who is kind. I'm a God who doesn't become angry quickly, who is long tolerant. I'm a God who has great love and is always faithful. I am a God who forgives. Notice this. He forgives evil. He forgives sin. He forgives those who turn against him. He forgives it all. Because his priority is the relationship, not the punishment. Second chances are always available to us because that's who God is and that's what God wants in our life. But notice that last verse, number 7, continues. It doesn't just end there saying, "I am great and wonderful and all forgiving." Let's go back to verse 7. "And is kind to thousands of people. The Lord forgives people for evil, for sin, for turning against him, but that he does not forget to punish guilty people. He will punish not only the guilty people, but also their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and their great-great-grandchildren." There are several times throughout the Old Testament that we see this, what appears to be this generational curse. That God's like, your issues are going to rest upon the heads of countless generations. Which a lot of times, for modern Christians, that's something very difficult for us to understand. Is, I mean, after all, why would God hold my children guilty for what I did? But that's not exactly what God is saying. What he's using, this is expression, as he's saying, the fact is, even though I forgive you, even though I am there to give you another chance to restore this relationship, it doesn't mean you still don't have to live with the repercussions of your actions. Just because you now have another chance doesn't mean that it all goes away. That's something that's often hard for us when we're teaching our children about "I'm sorry." Is once they finally understand that we say "I'm sorry" when we hurt somebody, they think it's a magic word. That all of a sudden just saying "I'm sorry" completely makes it all go away as if nothing ever happened. But no, part of teaching them is realizing that yes, it means you're forgiven, and yes, it means we're okay. Yes, it means I'm not going to throw you out of the house. But the fact is, sometimes the decisions we make have consequences. And we have to live with those consequences. If anybody should have understood that, it should have been the children of Israel. After all, that whole wandering in the wilderness thing was because their unfaithfulness had repercussions. And the same is true in our life. One time I was working with a couple who was going through some difficult issues, and there had been one particular offense, and we had talked about it and gone through it, and they cried about it, and we prayed about it, and forgiveness had been offered, and then they came back to see me the next week, and the husband was fuming, and I said, "What in the world?" And he said, "She keeps talking about it." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, last night we got in a fight about something else, and she brought it up again." And I said, "Okay." And she was sitting there, and she said, "Of course I did." She said, "The fact is, I love you, and I forgive you, and we're going to work through this. But I still remember. I'll always." And so now it's a process. It doesn't just get to go away. No, now it's something we have to work through. And that's not going to happen just because you said you're sorry. But that's kind of the way we want it to be too. "Oh God, I'm so sorry I got myself into this mess. Please get me out of this mess and make it all go away." God says it doesn't work that way. Our failures have consequences. But forgiveness doesn't wipe away those consequences. Forgiveness just gives us another chance to get it right. But then notice where he goes from there. So he says, yes, there's going to be consequences. Verse 8, Moses bows to the ground and worships and says, "Lord, if you're pleased with me, just go with us. For I know that we are a stubborn people. You forgive our evil and our sin. Take us as your own." And the Lord says, "I'll do one better than that. It's not only am I going to take you as my own, but I'm going to do things in your life that you can't possibly imagine." Because that's again where that grace comes in and does double duty. It's not only the grace that forgives us, but it's the grace that sustains us as we live into a broken relationship. As we live with those consequences, as we work every day to put all the pieces back together, God says, "I'm not just going to be with you in the middle of it, I'm going to be in the middle of it doing all I can to make sure it happens. I'm going to be there working my good and perfect will in your life." Because that is the amazing part about second chances. Is if we truly seek them with all of our heart, God not only meets us there, but God goes above and beyond in doing everything he can to restore our relationship. He not only forgives us, but he sustains us as we seek to live into a new faithfulness. God never leaves us hanging. God never puts it all on us. God always comes in with an overabundance of blessings. That's what he did for Israel. He continued to sustain them. He continued to do amazing things. He still fulfilled his promises to them time and time and time again. And throughout their history, as they failed, God always came back in and put it all back together. And he does the same for us. But it's only if we truly seek it. Do we really want a restored relationship? Are we willing to pay the cost that come in making that happen? Because it's always there. God is always waiting. And God is there to bless and empower you to make it happen. But you have to be willing to accept it. Let us pray. Glorious and eternal God, we just thank you for all of your many blessings. And we thank you, O Lord, that you are a God of second and third and millionth chances. That you are always there waiting, O Lord, to restore us and to bring us into a new and better and stronger relationship. That we can never fall too far out of your love. But God, you convict our spirits. Show us not only our failures, O Lord, but show us our weakness in truly being repentant. Show us, O Lord, what it means to truly seek after you and give us the courage and the willingness to do whatever is asked, to pay whatever price, just as you have done through your Son Christ. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation and renew a right spirit. Let those words echo in our lives as we seek to follow you. We ask these things in the blessed and holy name of Christ our Lord. Amen.